Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's been a bit of a crazy morning over here. I woke up early,
Is yeah. Do you guys have the touchpad in stock?
I woke up early to stop by Staples
Is this the
hey Scott? It's the show, Scott.
Hey, what? Hold on, Brian. Hold on.
Yeah.
Is this the $99 touchpad sale?
Do you guys have the touchpad?
Scott's double fisting cell phones right now. It's all right, hold on, frustrating.
Is this Staples on
anyway?
La
Cienega? The HP touchpad went on fire sale this
weekend. You know what? Fine. I don't want one anyway. I'm going to buy a playbook.
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media,
and random foodstuffs. We're your hosts. I'm Scott Gold.
I'm Brian Bishop. And this is episode number
26.
Everybody, it is August 20th, 2011, episode 26 of Tech Bacon. Welcome.
Welcome.
As we were, as I was trying to say earlier, it's been a busy morning here because the HP touchpad has been on sale with the fire sale for $99 for the 16 gig and $149 for the 32 gig across America and Canada.
And just, I had a little excursion this morning. Brian actually picked one up last night.
Score one over here.
give us a little info about your experience last night picking up the touchpad.
Yeah, well, last night I got it this morning, not last night.
Or I mean this morning.
Yeah, basically I went down to the sale started happening. The word spread last night that the sale was happening. We'll talk about this later in the show about HP's decision to discontinue WebOS and the touchpad device. But word spread last night that they were going to be selling them off this weekend for $99 and $149 for the 16 and 32 size, respectively. So there was a bunch of online sales that happened last night that went very, very quickly. And so this morning I tried to go down to like my local Staples, and I got there before they opened. Well, first I called the local Walmart in Baldwin Hills, and they had sold out.
Wait
already
a second. Hold on. Local? That's not the local.
It was the closest Walmart.
Okay, that is actually that.
That is the closest Walmart.
Right, that is the closest Walmart.
This is Los Angeles. 15 miles is local.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, they had sold out already by about 8:20, 8:30. So I went down to Staples, and you know I don't go to Staples a lot on the weekends before they open. It's not really usually my thing, but I did today, and there's a woman in line ahead of me already that – look like, you know, 37-year-old woman, not necessarily – looked like a mom, did not look like a geek or a tech aficionado. And while I was there, about, you know, six or seven other people joined us, and we were all there waiting for the touchpad. They had seven in stock. The woman in front had checked ahead of time, only the 32 gig variation. So finally, you know, we formed an orderly line. It was very Apple Store-like, in fact. Everybody's like chatting in line. Very, very fun. Very cool. Everybody, you know, copacetic.
Wow.
And we got in there, and, you know, the manager, the people of the store working the floor had not yet known about the sale. And finally, they figured it out. And the one guy went in the back and said, oh, yeah, we have a big stack of them like this, which would correspond with the amount of seven that the woman knew about from last night.
Right.
Then the manager came around and said, oh, cool, let me check. And then the employees working the register said, what, $99? $149? Oh, man, for that, I want to get one. we all felt the same way. And then the manager came out with three and said, oh, yeah, we only have three. But it's like the other dude already said you had – a big stack.
Seven, that's,
yeah. Eight. And the computer says seven, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess if you were in that position, would you not do the same thing? I probably would if I was working at the store. You know what that reminds me, though?
Probably, but I would if somebody else had already said something, I'd be – you know what? I would be more of a Jedi about it. I would not be like, oh, no, we only have like, this. That's
oh,
all there is.
We miscounted or something.
Exactly.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
These were boxes from the Zoom. These aren't the tablets you were looking for.
Nice. After speaking with Brian, I went on a hunt to try and get myself one, and I had no luck. I was at, let's see.
This was amazing, by the way, because you texted me about, 9:30?
Yeah, probably about 9:30.
And you get here about 10:30 for the show, and you were able to hit how many stores?
I hit five stores. I hit five. I bolted out the door. The first place I went to was a Staples near my house. And at the Staples, I walked in the door. The guy's like, no, they sold out. There was a line out the door this morning when I walked in. Okay, great. Rode down the street, hit an Office Depot, same situation. Got on the freeway, got off, hit another Staples, same situation. Another Staples, another Office Depot. All sold out, everyone. Now, it was funny. All the places had demos of the touchpads sitting there playing video. And I've done this in the past when electronics are sold out. You always ask if you can buy the floor model. And it's just a common thing. And at two of the places, they both said the same thing. They're like, oh, well, that's not a real touchpad. It's just running a demo video. It's just a device running a demo video.
Hmm.
a device running a demo video. Well, what device might that be? Might it be a touchpad?
No. HP made a special DVD playing tablet thing that just plays touchpad videos.
Right. I'm tempted to, since we had some experience with the touchpad,
yes.
I do know how to reset it, to hard reset it. So I'm tempted to just walk into one of those stores, hard reset it, and go, no, this is a real one. Now can I buy it?
Oh. I get it.
Maybe. No. So this show is going to consist of two topics.
Yeah, exactly. It's we could try to pretend we're going to talk about a lot of things we're not. So the two topics.
This week has been nuts, insane, crazy. I don't know, like, it started off, was this Monday morning that the first thing?
This was Monday morning. This week
Waking up Monday morning. I'm sure you do the same thing and wake up, read some news headlines, the tech headlines. Now, this was not just a tech headline. This was a
bombshell.
Breaking news headline. Wake up to find out that Google has purchased Motorola Mobility.
Yeah.
They bought them.
It's outright. And if you're not familiar with the difference, Motorola spun off their cell phone and their cable box division, which has something called Motorola Mobility a couple of years ago.
It was actually just last year. Motorola Mobility and Motorola Solutions. They split the company into two. And so like you said, the Motorola Mobility was the cell phones and the set-top boxes, pretty much.
They bought them for $12.5 billion.
$12.5 billion. Now this comes after. You know, one of their major stockholders was talking about, you know, licensing patents or just selling off patents to make money for the because when they split off, it was right around the time that which device was it that the Zoom had come out, and they split off and people thought it was a great idea. They could focus more on mobile and tablets and stuff like that. And the stock was at a nice price when they split, and then it's just been tanking basically. Pretty much, and the reason I know this is because I bought some prior to the split, actually, prior to all that.
Well, and Motorola was in trouble before the Droid launch, too. They were kind of they did really, really great with, you know, way back in the day with the StarTech. Then, like, obviously, like, the Razr was a huge hit for them.
Yeah.
And then they were kind of, you know, on the downward, you know, slope until the Droid, and that helped boost them up a bit.
Exactly. And that's when they did the split.
Yeah.
It's after they had been successful with the Droid. So the stock price had been hovering in a pretty bad place for quite a while now. And so they make this purchase, and the stock jumps 50%.
Well, theirs did. Google's
dropped.
Tanked. Fell like a stone.
So funny.
Like, once again, their valuation, billions of dollars.
But let's think about this just so everybody realizes Motorola. Motorola is, whether they've been doing good or bad or whatever recently, is one of the biggest players in the mobile phone market. They own the patent to the cell phone.
Right.
that's how big Motorola is. Like, you don't have to realize that this is not just some dinky player.
Yeah. Well, and it's not something the move also – Google came out and basically, you know, defined the entire purchase as a defensive move because of the patents that Motorola owns. Motorola they hold 17,000 patents, and they have another 8,000 pending. So it's like 25,000 patents basically,
right.
Including the one for the cell phone, as you mentioned.
Right.
And just to go and put that in perspective, InterDigital basically was another company that people are saying Google might be looking at buying after they lost the Nortel deal and whatnot that we've talked about before. InterDigital had just shot of 9,000 patents. So in terms of, you know, acquiring a huge chunk of patents, you know, for defensive measures to enable cross-licensing like we've talked about makes total sense. But why not just buy the patents? You know, why buy the entire thing? And that's where it gets really interesting because obviously it was presented to be all about the patents from the get-go. Apparently – this whole thing on Malik over at his website was basically talking about this whole deal started about 5 weeks ago. So basically it was oh crap, we need to go and get something going right away. Microsoft, apparently, according to Malik as well, was also trying to go and buy the patents. But they didn't want to buy the hardware business. Motorola played hardball and said, like, no,
we don't want to just sell the patents.
Yeah, you got to buy everything. You know, and you got to pay a lot of money for everything, which suddenly puts all those comments you were talking about saying, like, oh, no, we may go and license, you know, we may go and, like, right. You know, do other stuff. All the noises that Motorola's CEO is making about other platforms, that all makes a lot of sense then because he's, you know, he's playing hardball. He's negotiating.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
and the, you know, the The sale, what was it? It was
12.5 billion dollars, and also there was a $2.5 billion breakup fee. Basically, where if this sale does not go through or is not approved, Google has to pay Motorola $2.5 billion, which is, I understand, is astronomically high for this kind of deal, which also kind of puts in the context of, like, you know, Motorola had to go do something.
And there was also Google a couple hundred million dollar on the other side too that Motorola would have to pay Google if it didn't go through. It wasn't a lot. It wasn't as much, but it was a couple hundred million dollars. Yeah. It was a lot of money. The price, though, you know, I mean, that's a big purchase price.
Yeah.
But for Google, it's really not. They have money. They have money to spend. And it seems, why not spend it on something like this?
I can't find the number. It's something like, it was actually like it was multiple years of profit for Google, though. It was like, it's a ton of money.
They showed the number and they're like, just to be clear, we say $12.6 billion, but Google had this much cash on hand. Cash on hand was the – I mean, they had billions, probably double that in money just that they could spend.
It's a third. It was a third of their cash on hand. Yeah.
Cash on hand.
Yeah.
A third.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Nuts.
But the big question that everybody's been asking is,
now what?
What is the true intent here? Like, Google has said that they're going to go and run Motorola as a completely separate entity, although they will license, you know, they will, then they will go and take the patents, though, so they can, you assume would license them to, like, other Android partners and stuff.
Right.
Because that's the big deal here. Android has been under threat from numerous sides at this point because of various, alleged, you know, if they're real or not is not for us to go and decide, but, patent infringements, on the part of Android.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it's like they want to go and protect, insulate all their partners and stuff, so to keep, that ecosystem growing. However, buying the entire company, I don't know. You realize they have to say they're going to go and keep it separate to the get-go, just otherwise that's going to freak out all the Android partners. It's going to freak out Samsung. It's going to freak out HTC. They have to say they're going to keep it at arm's length. And also, I think for the deal to go through, they have to.
And why wouldn't they? I mean,
why
would they want to roll in a hardware company like that into Google? It doesn't seem to – like, it makes sense to keep it separate.
Yeah,
as far as an operational standpoint.
On that case, too, because also there's like – it's something like 19,000 employees, I want to say. It's almost like they're almost doubling their workforce, between Motorola and Google. And very, very different corporate cultures, obviously.
Absolutely.
But in terms of what their intent is,
I don't know.
On one level, you kind of go, okay, it makes sense that they're going to keep it at arm's length. That makes sense. On the other hand, you also don't buy that because at the same time, they've always been very, very, smart and aggressive about encouraging their partners to kind of go along certain guidelines they want to do when they're doing Android to get like the flagship Android devices, that kind of thing. This is one more, stick to go and encourage people to kind of, go along the steps that they want to in terms of like what kind of hardware, what kind of implementation, no skin, all that stuff.
I think it's going to allow them to good or – whether this is good or bad, I'm not sure. This is so much a process in a week. But it's – I think it will allow them to force hardware standards on their other partners. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like they'll be able to say, well, we can dictate what the Motorola phones are going to be. And we know that this is the standard we want. We're coming out with it on Motorola. And if you want the newest version of Android, you have to come up to these standards.
Right. And here's the question.
And not just say it, but actually release it because they own Motorola.
Right. Well, it's kind of like, they wanted to go and, when they originally released the first Nexus phone, that was the idea. It was going to be a gold bar standard that would then go, if not force, heavily encourage everyone to go and meet that level in terms of software updates and all that kind of stuff. And it never took. So it was just one phone, carriers didn't pick up on it.
And they were still beholden to the device manufacturers because they weren't making their own thing. So if the device manufacturer said, well, we don't want to do that, then there's nothing that Google could do. Now, if they say we don't want to do that, be like, well, the Motorola phones are coming out like that.
And here's the other question too.
You can't stop us. We are going to manufacture.
Right. And another part of what has always been so important in terms of, the problem that they've had with Android is like the software update issue, where they can't go and they don't control the software updates. And in this case, even if they have Motorola, that's going to be a carrier issue.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. If they go and say to all their, partners, they say, okay, cool, we're going to go and do this. At that point, if they have to go, if they set a certain level of standards and HTC can't differentiate via Sense, Moto Blur's gone obviously now, but all the other companies can't differentiate on whatever they want and form factor size, all this kind of stuff. Does that then make other OSs interesting? Is this an opening for Windows Phone 7?
Could be. It's definitely possible.
You know?
But HTC are, you know, coming like HTC, they already make Windows Phone 7 phones.
Sure.
They're going to stop doing that.
I feel like they have been. I mean, I feel like Android has been so good to them. They've definitely been much more invested in Android than they have been in Windows 7 comparatively.
Well, totally. Yeah, I agree with that. But here's what my gut feel went down with these guys, and this is just pure speculation and just kind of what I've been thinking in my mind, is that, like you were saying, they were looking into the patents, and like you were saying, Motorola was playing hardball. I think at the end of the day, Motorola probably would have sold or licensed their patents if they had no other choice.
Well, I think they had multiple buyers. They could. I think they just got the –
yeah. But I think then all of a sudden Google's like, well, wait a second. What if we did buy it? What is the advantage to us? And then they started, you know, I think then that ball started spinning and it started to make sense to them that actually it's not just about the patents. Now it's actually about being a hardware manufacturer.
Yeah. And that's do you think that they are, okay, backtrack one second.
Yeah.
Google makes money from Android from, you know, ad impressions, sales impressions, that kind of stuff. It's been speculated that it's anywhere from like, you know, $5 to $6 per Android phone, right? The bulk of the money in device sales, I mean, the bulk of money in the mobile market thus far is in actual device sales, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, Apple has that, you know, locked up, but, you know, right. that's also why companies like HTC and, you know, Samsung can thrive, you know, because they make a lot of money selling the gear, right? The shiny. That's shiny TM, because that's what we call everything. But does Google basically, do they say, okay, cool, that's great that we're making a couple bucks on Android, but if everybody else can differentiate, I mean, by taking out our products, if Amazon can fork, right? If, you know, all these different companies can fork, so we're not getting a cut of that, do they then go, you know, it's going to make more sense, we can make more money if Maybe. We go and like get into like the hardware sales and we start pushing that. And basically, if they do, they see value in being like that kind of vertically integrated, you know, device provider.
I mean, yes, maybe they will go the Apple route. Maybe that's what they will do. I'm curious to see that. Like, can you imagine like a phone, the first phone that comes out through this acquisition with the marketing dollars of Google behind it? For an actual device,
well, also the Google brand, like and the Google phone, I think is much more attractive than a Motorola phone running Google.
You think they're going to dump the name? I wonder.
I don't know. I think as a brand, it's not.
I mean,
it's valuable to a degree, but like, not really. Do I think Google is a stronger brand?
Here's it's not anymore. Because if you think about it, if you ask anybody who has like these Android phones or whatever, what kind of phone do you have? They don't say I have the Motorola blah blah blah. What do they say?
They say they have a Droid. Yeah.
Droid has been branded over Motorola. The Motorola name is in the consumer purchasing world is kind of gone almost.
Do you think that there's a differentiation for people between HTC and Samsung though, or do they?
You know, it's weird. When I talk to people, they say Droid for all of the phones.
Right. It's kind of like everybody refers to like the iPod Touch as the iTouch, or you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just become this broad term,
because that's the brand that people can, you know, it's in their face more often.
So it's interesting. I mean, I think if all of a sudden we see the next phone is the new Google Droid,
right?
I could see that. Like, I guess I can see them dumping the name, even though I mean it's such a legacy name. But however, it's, let's not forget, this isn't just the phone world for this acquisition. It's also set top boxes,
right?
Which is something else to talk about.
Yeah, there's definitely huge potential with that, because obviously we talked about this, you know, about Google TV just like last week. If Google's real strategy long term, you know, outside of the Logitech review and things like that, which have, you know, not done well clearly, they would have loved to go and get into set-top boxes, because there is a place there where they can go, they can innovate, they can provide a better user experience. You could see how it could take off. But there's been no, you know, interest from people like Motorola and like other companies that make those to kind of like do that.
And Motorola boxes account for a very large number.
There's really only two players.
It's Scientific Atlantic.
Yeah.
Is that the
I think
other
it is,
one?
Yeah.
Or Science Atlantic, whatever it's called. Atlantic, something Atlantic.
Scientific.
Scientific Atlantic and Motorola pretty much make all the cable boxes that you, at least in the United States. I'm pretty sure Time Warner, all the Time Warner ones are Motorola. And that's, you know, one of the biggest cable companies in the country. So, I mean, but in that realm, Motorola, to the corporate buyers, I think is still a meaningful name.
Yeah.
You know, on the consumer side, I don't think so anymore. I really don't. I don't think Motorola means anything anymore.
Well, also it's
nostalgic, and that's about it.
And the true interesting thing about this as well, I think we're past the point where smartphone saturation on the high-end market has already occurred. All the growth now is in, you know, the middle and, like, you know, the lower-end market. Basically, yeah. What feature phones are what are expanding right now, or people that just have a regular phone that is, you know, they just have the old, you know, candy bar Nokias. Like, that's
right.
Those are the people that are buying now. That's the, where the growth is right now. And in that realm, brands like this probably matter even less. You know, it's just about right. It's just about here's my phone, and maybe if it does this other stuff, that is cool. Notions, even brands like Google and Apple probably don't matter that much in that, you know, in that realm comparatively.
Yeah, it does excite me a little bit to see the first phone that's going to come out of this, just because, I mean, obviously with HTC, the Nexus One and that Nexus S from Samsung and stuff like that, they were hardware partners and they worked mm-hmm. together, but now this is going to be Google dictating. You know,
yeah,
it's not going to be, this is not a partnership because they own the company. So it's going to be, this is what we want to do. Let's do it. Is that going to be good or is it going to be bad?
See, that's what I don't know. Trying to gameplay it out a couple years, I feel like the version of it where they basically run the Motorola as, you know, as an outside company and just kind of let it do what it's been doing, i.e. languish essentially until it goes away and they can just like sell it off and be done with it. And they just hold on to the patents. That, I think, you know, keeps the current, you know, the current ecosystem intact and allows them to go and, like, you know, prevent any more degradation or, you know, legal sure. threat, that kind of stuff. If the one where they go and keep it in, where they kind of roll it in and they start doing, you know, manufacturing phones and really utilize that potential, it's weird. I feel like there's – it's so disruptive. And not only just to, like, you know, other, you know, companies, but to their own business, because what has been so successful about Android is that, like, anybody can use it. It is free. You can do whatever you want with it. You know, and unless you want to go and be one of the high-end phones and have all the true Google experience, you don't have to worry about anything else.
Right.
Now it's like if you have to pay or you're being forced to standards, there, you know, there becomes, you know, not only an Android tax from, you know, other outside people, you know, suing via patents, it becomes sure. like a Google tax essentially in terms of what you can do. Some of that, you know, variety goes away maybe. I don't know. It's weird. It's like it almost seems like if any – I'm not sure how they can make that move without, you know, weakening their strongest element of their strategy.
Right. I mean, I would love to see, you know – I think Motorola is a company that has shown that they can be innovative,
sure.
standing on their own. They've faltered and they've not been a quote unquote successful company for quite some time, really. But I would like to see what a company like Motorola can be with a new infusion of cash and a renewed sense of we're not going away. You know what I mean? Like if they are to keep it separate. Who knows if that's what they're going to do, and they say they are. But if they are, like, I would like to see what a company like Motorola could become in that situation.
Well, that brings up the second question too. Is the problem with Motorola capital? Is the problem with Motorola they haven't had enough time to go, haven't had the right kind of support, maybe on the software side? Or
maybe it's
is
leadership.
It?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know? Obviously, there are some incredibly talented engineers there, but why have they languished? You know, why wasn't the Zoom a better product? You know, just as a hardware product, why wasn't it better?
Right, right. Like what? Where is the fault in that company?
Yeah,
where has it been?
You know, where are their great designers? Because their design has been – I mean, the
used
Droid
– to be.
It used to be great, you know, right? Yeah. It used to be great. I mean, but since they moved to touchscreen phones, you could argue it's been relatively stagnant. Like the Droid
– The Droid was a big hit and still is a big hit.
But
it's nothing crazy.
Yeah, and it hasn't really changed, you know, design-wise. They made it bigger. They've been much more of a leader – I mean, a follower than a leader.
Right.
You know, so I'm curious to know what that is. And the fact that they were you know, part of the reason that they have been languishing is, you know, part of the reason why they're able to get them for relatively cheap. It would cost, you know, much more for them to go and, you know, pick off Samsung or HTC.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So it's very curious. It's one of these things where the ramifications are huge. We won't get an idea of what's really happening.
I mean, it's just so much speculation. We're just throwing out speculation because that's all we have right now. But it's just such massive – it was a massive thing to wake up to on a Monday morning.
Yeah. And I do think we'll start seeing, you know, the impact from it in with regard to the other Android developers, you know, or machine
partners.
Well,
and that is something
right
to
away.
Mention is that they all pretty much sent out a stock press release.
Well, this was actually really, really funny.
It was almost phrased the same.
Yeah, they basically – there was a page, and we'll link it in the show notes. It was like four or five quotes, and literally every single one was –
What was the main – there was one main
it
term.
It was I, we, or us, you know, some variation
fully
of that.
Support?
Like, you know, welcome. That? Welcome, blah, blah, blah. And fully and something, you know, Google's move to, you know, blah, 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 to defend. Basically, it was like every single statement had
it was so,
welcome and defend. And they were like one-sentence statements.
It was funny
like
when you saw them
two
all
pauses. You're like, wow. Like that's – once again, try harder with your Jedi
Google,
mind trick.
Google got their ducks in a row before they made that announcement. They
gotta
put it that way.
But they
got
to do their
smart.
I think it was not smart because I think it looked so forced. It was so clear that it was fake. So if you're going to do that, spice it up. Like, you know,
yeah, but
mix it up a little bit
than,
so it's not so obvious.
Better than not have told them and, you know, had one guy go, this is ridiculous. You know what I mean?
I don't know that I agree with that, actually. I think because it looks so forced. Now you're like, what do they really think?
Right.
Like, nobody knows. Now
but
everybody's a big question mark.
But obviously they – I think it was a good form to tell them prior to the announcement.
Well, I think that's in terms of PR, absolutely.
I think that's what I mean.
The execution,
you
know, of it.
It was smart.
Well, I think the execution of it was poor. Like, the concept of it is because you want to go and have everybody come out in alignment because that's the big question. Is it going to go –
Well, the thing is they probably said, here's a recommended thing that you could say. And none of them got creative and just picked – and choose and
See,
put their press release out.
I don't think it was that. I think Google's very specific and said, you have to say this and do not change it, because there's no way all those PR companies
well,
don't go
said
and tweak
you,
it.
You have to say these specific things.
Yeah, you have to say welcome. You have to say defend.
Well, they probably didn't say
point.
You have to, but they said it might be in your best interest to mention this.
Yeah, if you want access to the Android marketplace and the new right. Google Maps, you want to do it this way.
Right.
I think it was a big indicator of their
could
stick strategy with Android. So that was kind of funny about it to me. Somebody put up a web page that basically was like, you know, roll your own, you know, Motorola Google press release. It basically was like six fields, like it was like Mad Libs. You could swap them out and generate a fake one. It was really funny. We'll link that as well.
That is very funny. That is very funny.
But yeah, I think we're right now, and Samsung talked about it subsequently, I think, saying like, oh yeah, we think this is great. I think we're going to see in the next 6 to 8 months, even before this deal goes through, I think we'll see movement from Android OEMs in terms of what they do in terms of other platforms right now, because it seems to be in everybody's interest right now to, you know, hedge their bets more than it was, you know, a week ago.
Well, I think they're all – yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think they're also waiting to see when these Nokia phones hit all the other manufacturers. Because if they're successful, then they're going to all jump on board no matter what, regardless of this that happened.
Sure.
This just may be more of an incentive for them to do that in that realm, you know. And I – let's talk a second about the set-top box thing, because I think that's also a very interesting part. We touched on it for a second, but it's a very interesting part of this whole acquisition because – as you said, they've really wanted – Google's wanted to get into that realm. And I wonder if this was just like the cherry on top for them when they were thinking about it, or if they were like, well, wait a second. This isn't just the phones that we're buying. And actually, you know, I wonder if they were looking into something like this, not necessarily with Motorola, but before the Motorola thing came around.
I think it's definitely gravy. I mean, obviously, I don't know if it can be their primary strategy, because I think at a certain point –
because that's a big part of the Motorola mobility business.
Absolutely.
It's a huge part of it.
But if the cable providers basically say, no, we don't want Google TV in there because we don't want you sending, you know, our, you know, viewers' eyeballs to the internet, so you can't do that. They're not going to – they can't force it. You know,
sure.
They're basically – people just won't buy Motorola boxes then. I think it's an opportunity, but I don't think they can, you know, do their normal thing where they just go and flood it and say, here, you have to take it up, because their customers have another option and they can just say no.
Right. But now it's they're not competing with existing Motorola boxes.
Oh no, they definitely have a more direct tie.
You know
to
what
get
I mean?
So
like now it's like, okay, they're gonna set up a meeting with Time Warner. This is the next generation of Motorola boxes, and here's what we're gonna do, and blah blah blah. You know,
yeah.
As opposed to, you should get these boxes instead of the Motorola boxes.
Right, but there, well, there's always an addition to. The problem is like their customers for the boxes are still the cable companies. They're not end consumers.
No, absolutely.
And as long as their, you know, customers are the cable companies, it's going to be hard for them to go and get some strong traction in that business unless they really
it's just a direct
it.
Line now.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's just a direct. They're not now instead of being, you know, an outside company trying to sell them on a new product, they're an inside company trying to sell them on a change.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Definitely.
You know, at that point. And maybe, I mean, because to be perfectly honest, the Motorola cable boxes are awful. Maybe we'll actually see some cool cable boxes. Right? I'm not wrong.
You know, it's funny. Like, I feel like that's the last of all. I expect my refrigerator to have a better and more nuanced UI that's exciting to use than my cable box.
Yes,
really? Like, my shoes are going to have a better touchscreen interface. With, you know, with more variety and, you know, more, you know,
than the cable box.
Ever,
than,
always.
Than the worst interface ever. Those interfaces are terrible.
I have some sweet socks that are speedy and responsive and snappy. Cable box, no.
No. No. Not at all.
Yeah.
Amazing. So that was the first bombshell of the week.
Yeah. And, well, it's interesting, too, the, you know, one of the things that happened after the Google thing, everybody's like, okay, this is happening. Are other people going to like hedge their bets? Is this a, you know, is this an, you know, opportunity for Microsoft with Windows Phone 7? Is it an opportunity for WebOS? Are people, because they're talking about licensing, yeah, right, can people go and license this? And this is a great opportunity to get other things in there. That all went away, it looked like, on Thursday. When HP said, you know what, the WebOS thing, we don't like that. And computers, no thanks.
let's just point out how seismic of a shift that is.
Which one?
Both.
We'll start with computers, right?
Okay, let's start with computers. HP, a few years back, however many years ago, decides to buy Compaq,
right,
for their hardware business so they could be the number one PC manufacturer.
And they were already very – Hewlett-Packard was already very successful. Right. You know, they're making calculators and stuff since, you know, we were kids.
This has been a hardware company.
Always.
Always. I mean, they have been a hardware company. That's just what they've been. You know, they make this purchase of Compaq. They're the number one PC vendor in the world.
Yeah, they've,
you
know, been after that. For like for years they've been selling 20% of all PCs worldwide.
Right.
Huge.
So let's preface this, they have not officially made this statement as fact, but they're
exploring options including that, which right, means yes, but yeah, don't yeah, freak out.
So at the end of the day, they're going to sell off their hardware business. Now, I actually saw somebody online write something hilarious. It was like a tweet. I don't remember who it was. You probably saw it too. It was just like, HP is going to be spinning off their hardware business and call it Compaq. Thought that was very funny.
And it was really, really interesting about their CEO, basically, Yoav Apotheker. They had like they did all this and they announced, they timed all these announcements for their earnings call, basically, because right, they hadn't done as well this past quarter as they wanted. And they're basically setting right, a new trajectory. He is relatively new. Mark Hurd was the guy that had originally, you know, kind of presided over their purchase of Palm last year.
Right.
Basically left in kind of a scandal situation not soon thereafter. And basically, Apotheker kept referring to the tablet effect. Let me pull the quote up.
Okay.
Consumers are changing the use of their PC. The tablet effect is real, and sales of the touchpad are not meeting our expectations. The velocity of change in the personal device marketplace continues to increase as the competitive landscape is growing increasingly more complex, especially around the personal computing arena. He then repeated, the tablet effect is real. Now, there's only one way to read this, right? Because then what is the tablet effect? Tablet effect is the iPad effect, yeah? I mean, if we're going to be
yes,
honest. Yeah, so basically what you're saying is like –
the tablet effect is the yeah, iPad effect. So there is no other player really right now.
So he's basically saying iPads are making personal computers not very profitable to sell anymore.
did you see – speaking of that, did you see there was a report that came out about percentage of personal computers sold in the last quarter where Apple was number one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they counted – iPads,
and then they were up to 20%
as personal computing devices, yeah, and they were above Dell and they were above HP.
Mm-hmm.
That goes to this quote,
definitely.
You know,
well, also it's interesting too because for years, you know, there have been calls for in terms of profitability, because that's what this really is as well, right? HP is basically saying we're not making enough money in personal computers, so we're right, going to go and get out.
Right.
For years, the move, you know, the suggestion always to Apple was to, you know, expand to lower end market, you know, like, you know, get into netbooks, get into that cheaper market because that's what's going to help you with market share. And they've steadfastly and kind of, you know, obnoxiously in a certain
that,
sense, not done that. And they've always, you know, maintained, you know, their certain profit margins and, you know, and they do very, very well. And we're seeing this case where they're doing well. Their Mac business is doing quite well and it is growing. And then they're having the lower end, you know, be, you know, taken advantage of by the iPad and like mm-hmm, by the iPhones and that kind of stuff. And now it's the long-term effect, I guess, of the commoditization that's happening is basically make a company like HP, yeah, we're the number one seller, but we make so little money, it's not worth it anymore. We're getting out because the low end isn't worth being in, essentially.
Right.
And it's kind of sad because, I mean,
well,
I feel like it's the end of an era.
Somebody's going to have to be in that market. That market has to exist, you know? It has to.
Yeah.
I mean, the high-end computer market is not as Apple, their share is
yeah,
5%. I
yeah,
mean, like – that market, and it obviously they make tons of money, but
oh, yeah,
but that market has to exist.
Yeah, somebody has somehow to go and fill that void. I wonder how this plays out after a number of years, though. At a certain point, do companies keep dropping out because it just doesn't make enough sense and it comes down to, like, you know, it's one or two vendors?
Well, here's what could happen. Here's what is possible, you know, with all the we're going to veer all around this topic because it encompasses everything, really. With all of the virtualization going on mm-hmm, in the computing world, it's possible that these, you know, lower end machines that you're seeing in corporate office and stuff are going to cease to exist because it's just going to be a workstation.
That's a great point. Are we looking
because,
at
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Are we looking at a world basically where people use low-end computers for a restricted set of uses, right? Use them mm-hmm. at work because people are buying them in bulk, or use them at home because you don't want to spend a lot of money and you don't need a full-feature computer.
Right.
Are we looking at a world where the use case, you know,
is different
for those devices, where you're better suited by a tablet or a, you know, or a different device at the
or
office,
a Chromebook type thing,
yeah, than you are by a cheapy computer with cheap components and stuff? Is that, you know?
I wonder. I mean, are we moving towards that? Because
that's a tectonic
possible.
Shift. You know, it's exciting as hell, but it's like a serious shift.
Well, I mean, if we think about this, obviously Dell is going to be number one in manufacturing right now. But like, think of two names that if I 2 weeks ago would have asked you, you know, two names that make you think of personal computers aside from Dell, you would have said HP
and Apple.
And Apple, right?
Right.
2 years ago, you would have said IBM, but they stopped making. They stopped making devices 2 years ago.
Yeah.
IBM, that was a big – at that point, that was a huge – you know.
And their move was to basically go into software as service, enterprise, and that's exactly what
HP says
larger plan
do,
is doing.
Yeah.
It was very funny. Like, you know, they had, we'll get to the Palm thing in a second, but along with all this news, they had acquired another company that was, you know, a data analysis company for $11 billion.
Right.
Like, they're complaining about the Palm acquisition and, like, how they're not making enough money here, but then they're spending $11 billion because that's where they're investing in, where they think their future
is. Well, imagine a world where, you know, a new corporate office gets set up, right? And instead of buying 200 HP computers, they buy the HP system, which includes their software and their data, you know, center mm-hmm. wired to a monitor and a keyboard around the whole office.
You know why this is so exciting?
Right?
And this, you know why this is seriously so exciting? You are seeing for years, computers have always been about you need a computer, and what you get and how it gets dictated to you is basically about interests other than your own. You know, it's sure. either economic interests or it's about, you know, the economic interests of your place of business or
right.
what systems they have installed.
Right.
What we're seeing is the utility of individual devices, you know, and how well they work for specific functions, i.e. the consumers, you know, basically
right.
is driving the profit in the marketplace, essentially.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is incredibly exciting because basically if there is no tablet effect, you know, then these things keep selling.
Right.
Essentially. You know what I mean?
Right.
But basically they're looking at this and they're saying like, you know, okay, we don't make a lot of money as it is with this tablet effect, iPad effect, whatever. It's going to undercut that even more. So it doesn't even make sense to even be in the business.
And that's
incredible and exciting.
That's what it seems to be.
Because for the first time, it doesn't become this, you know, installed infrastructure that, you know, is oppressive to the users in a little way. It's basically mm-hmm. what works best, you know, what is the best way for us to do what we need to do? What's the best tool, you know, for us consumers?
Yeah.
And that's what's, you know, drives, you know, where the market goes. It seems to me, I mean, it has not been that way except for the last few years. It's really exciting.
No, yeah, not at all. It hasn't. And I mean, it, as we talk that out, it makes more sense for a company like HP to do something like this.
And it fits in with what we've been talking about in enterprise in terms of, you know, like non-sanctioned devices coming in, you know, Android phones, you know, iPhones, that kind of stuff, which have normally been the stronghold of RIM. Like RIM's part of that old school thinking as well.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
It's very exciting. Right?
It's very hard to wrap your head around. You know,
well, once they actually do it, and I think it's they haven't officially done it, but once they do actually get rid of the hardware business,
I would be shocked if they didn't.
Well, it seems very clear that the new CEO, that is what he's all about.
That's that's his focus.
And that's his, like, you know, end game. And
honestly,
there's a lot to be said for that. Who knows if they can – who knows if they're too late doing it? Who knows if they can compete? We'll see. But I think he's probably very smart in that, you know, they are not an Apple. They're not even an HTC. It's not in their best interest to go and compete in this game anymore.
Yeah. And maybe it ends up where really – there's only two companies that
make the cheapy
that
stuff.
Do that. Yeah. You know, Dell and somebody else.
And their scale can enable them to go and still, you know, eke out a profit on it.
Yeah. I mean, I know Michael Dell tweeted something very giddy about this whole thing.
Right.
You know, he was very happy. So, you know, so also the second part of this whole thing was the WebOS.
Yeah.
This kind of annoyed me. Didn't it annoy you?
I was like, I was just shocked. I don't even know if I was annoyed. I was just shocked.
Because their reason was that it didn't sell well enough. So they're pulling the plug on the whole thing.
And by well enough, they mean primarily the touchpad, right? That's
right.
The example they held up.
The touchpad. But when did it launch? last month.
It launched, I mean, it was less than 90 days ago. Basically, remember how quickly the Kin came and went? You know, before it got discontinued?
The Kin,
the Microsoft
never
Kin.
Came.
No, it launched and went away. The touchpad was on the market for less time than Kin. It's the touchpad is the new record.
I can get like pulling a device or a product, but actually killing the entire concept after such a short try?
You know what? I just lied. I'm sorry. The touchpad, the Microsoft Kin was 48 days in the market. The touchpad was 49. I'm sorry.
Oh,
that's I'm okay. Sorry. Yeah. My bad.
That's really funny. They just didn't give it a chance.
I think it's.
I mean, they screwed up with the launch and all that stuff, but they didn't give it a chance.
Well, all that talk we had about why not wait to launch the device, why do it now when it's not finished? I think it's very clear from the top people, from Apotheker, right? They did not have any interest in this. It just seems very, very obvious that it was not there. And apparently the people, in the Palm Group did not know about this until the day of.
Now, they have still – and I read an interview this morning with somebody at HP. They're emphatically stating that they're going to continue to develop the OS.
The head of the WebOS group basically –
they're really like
– they had a hands-on meeting and he basically sent an email out to developers saying like, hey, we're still going to go and do this. And HP said in this conference call, yeah, we're still looking at other options. We'd like to either license it or sell it. I think they screwed themselves in licensing. No way in hell, because at this point it's like this device wasn't getting any traction and now we just killed every single device out there.
Like on the PR front.
It basically makes it look like a dead platform. The one thing I have that's an upside, this sale has been so insane. Like we were talking about this earlier. The touchpad is selling out, not just nationwide, like worldwide, it seems like, amongst different countries.
I'm pretty sure by 10 a.m. West Coast time, the thing was sold out everywhere.
Yeah, in America, same in Canada.
Yeah.
And in that sense, there's going to be a huge install base. And in that sense, maybe developers or, somebody wants to license the OS goes, okay, cool. There's like a million out there. Maybe. I forget what the manufacturer number was, but maybe that's helpful. But I think sale wise, somebody might buy it, but in terms of licensing it, why? Because HP clearly doesn't even care about it anymore.
And I mean, it upsets me because I like the OS conceptually and I liked having another OS around.
Yeah.
I think that's a great thing. And did you see those guys that ported it over to the iPad?
Well, here's the thing.
And the thing was blazing fast.
They said that basically because WebOS is based on web technologies, they were able to run it inside mobile Safari and it was crazy fast. I don't know if I buy that only. I would like it because I would love to go on, I'd love to be able to do that because I think it's fun to play with. But that's one of those things where I don't know. Like the chip is what? It's 1.2 gigahertz chip. It's not that crazy slow.
But it was a
processor.
1.2 gigahertz. It was a Qualcomm chip and the way those processors are different than the Apple ones. They're technically faster, but technically slower.
Right. That just – I don't know. If we see – it's interesting. Like, yeah, I want to see footage of it. I want to be able to do it.
But yeah, I just – I don't know. It bums me out that they killed it like that. It really does.
Yeah. And they basically said, we haven't met our sales, and we're just kind of like ceasing it completely. And, the Palm, they had a 7-inch model, the Touchpad Go, that was prepped to come out. The Palm, Pre 3 was prepped to come out. There were all these products in the pipeline.
I mean, they mismanaged the launch of this thing and then they killed it off because they screwed up. That's what I feel like. Because this thing should have come out with better specs and not buggy.
Yeah.
It came out buggy with crappy. I mean, like the device, if this device came out working as it should have, like full on as it should have worked, they wouldn't be in this situation.
Would they?
I don't think so.
See, that's the question.
Because the reviews killed this thing.
Well, this is true. But what if
killed it?
What if it had been reviewed well? Do you think it would have gotten more traction than the Honeycomb tablets?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's more user friendly and it could have.
Maybe. It might have.
But also I do wonder, we come back to that, tablet market or iPad market.
Well, yeah,
I don't know if it would have. Because all these people, if you can go and buy this thing and you don't know, or you can buy the $500 at this point, originally they were the same price, right?
Right.
And then you can kind of say, okay, cool, I can go and do this.
Yeah.
It has all the apps. Because it's still like there were no apps for it.
Well, that's true too.
There was still, it's still, but there's still that problem. I don't know if it would have made a difference necessarily. As much as there are elements of the device that we like so much about, and I feel like the potential of it was so, I mean, there's great potential in that device.
I think it would have, I feel like it would have at least kept it around to the holiday season and then we could have seen what happened.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, maybe not. But well, I think it had no chance.
Well, I think
it had no chance.
It's super clear if they were interested. If they really wanted to see where it was going to go, they would have waited, like you said, through the holiday season. Because that's the money time, right? That's when you really you have your new update ready to go. And by the way, I'm curious to see how this thing runs with a new software update that we weren't able to test. Once it comes out, it supposedly speeded things up.
I wonder, do you think, like with the Kin, right?
Right.
The Kin, I was pretty sure it was DOA before it came out, but they had to release it because they spent so much money on the thing. Like, maybe this was something similar.
I think it's exactly the same thing.
You know, like, there was so much invested that they would lose less money by releasing it and killing it off than never releasing it.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, a couple weeks ago, John Rubenstein,
you know, leader at that point.
Yeah. Well, John Rubenstein, you know, who basically was, you know,
it's not really the right term.
But John Rubenstein, who basically was running Palm before they got bought and was like still head of that group, got demoted a couple weeks ago. And I think that was probably the writing on the wall, you know, with it. But I think you're exactly right. I think they clearly it was already DOA. I think it was a very closely held secret that it was DOA because they wanted to keep all these people happy and working.
Yeah, it could be.
But if, you know, the fact that, you know, once again, this is all alleged from various articles that we'll link to. If people did not know until the day of, I think that says everything, you know.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's what really, really sucks, because I think all the companies that we're following now that are really, really exciting to you and me, they have a very, very nimble startup mentality about them where it's all about the product. You know, this is a level of corporate detachment that seems so strange in the mobile space right now. It's just disheartening.
Yeah.
And that's what bugged me so much. I was shocked. And then it's really, really disheartening because they're super talented engineers, students. I mean, incredibly talented people that are working on these devices that want them to be great, and to get hamstrung and kind of like screwed over, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, by the board or whomever has decided that's not the vision. It's just antithetical to what is so neat about the mobile space right now. And that sounds very, very, you know, huggy, like let's hug it out.
But I'm with you on that.
Even Google in their most nefarious moves, and Apple in their kind of like, you know, suckiest moves, at the core, it's still about like, you know, the product and the fun of that spark. And this is so far from that.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Bums me out. It bums me out. I mean, this week was just like 1-2 punch, man.
Yeah. It's like somebody just took like the chessboard and it's like, you know, upended all the pieces. It's like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, the world that we're living in today at the end of this week is not the same world we've been living in for the past 30 years. Like it changed that dramatically in, you know, two announcements.
Yeah.
Like Motorola being bought and HP potentially stopping to sell PCs and killing off their, like, I mean, and finally, to be honest, the end of pretty much the end of Palm, finally,
you know,
I think we pretty much can say,
here's the question.
I mean, it ended, but it was still remnants around.
Question for you.
You know,
what do Facebook, what do Facebook, Amazon, HTC, and Samsung now think when if somebody goes and ships, you know, shops around webOS/Palm to them?
I think they don't want it.
Because Rubenstein is on the board at Amazon.
Here's why I think they don't want it. Because of this whole fiasco, they have HP has tarnished the name of the OS. And that's unfortunate. Didn't have to happen. I think the way they did this whole thing, they've ruined a brand that didn't need to be ruined.
That's a good point, because don't you think if they were going to go and try to sell it off, they probably would have had the buyer ready before they just said, by the way, it's done.
Like, who's going to want, after all of this press and after all of this, who's going to want to buy that?
Yeah.
You know, or, I mean, maybe they buy the technology behind it in some backdoor way where it's not WebOS or something, and it just
integrates into
– disappears.
And that way it almost makes more sense for Apple or Google to buy it.
Yeah.
And they can integrate it.
That's true.
Part of me
– oh, my God. If Google bought that, that would be fascinating.
Or what about –
that would be fascinating.
Apple buys it, brings John Rubenstein back into the fold, the guy who basically was head of the iPod group back in the day, the original iPod group.
Right,
would that not
love
be interesting? What technology that brings? You know, this the synergy concept.
The guy's an innovator. It's like –
you know, I don't know. I'm sure there's tons of bad blood there now.
Sure,
but that would be interesting.
That would be very interesting. It's too bad. My head hurts.
And also, you know, Apple wouldn't do it because then it would look like they're going to try to go and come up with their own versions of that feature.
Maybe.
They're not going to go and roll in somebody else's feature.
And I don't think another hardware vendor is not going to buy it. It just doesn't make – like, oh, well, it didn't work for you. Why do we want it? Like, why would Sony want it? Why would Dell want it? Why would – you know? Would they want it?
If they wanted to use it as not straight good to go, but if they wanted to use it as a core,
BlackBerry,
that would be funny. I could see somebody using it as a core to build upon. Like if Amazon's basically going and, you know, building a whole new thing off of, you know, an Android fork, I could see maybe them, you know, doing it to go and do their second gen tablet to build a whole different thing on top of it.
Yeah, I guess that's possible.
But still, you know, you have the same problems. Why was the thing slow? I still don't know that I buy that it was the hardware thing. In fact, the story about it running on, you mm-hmm. mentioned this earlier, the running on the iPad. Doesn't that seem awfully conveniently planted to make it seem like, no, this wasn't slow because of the software, it was slow because of the hardware. It's all bad HP's fault. Doesn't it seem like it was...
It's possible it was spin.
Because that was like...
Discount that.
Because it was just like an anonymous leak, wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Because it was basically a leak from HP, I believe, about people saying like, we hated the hardware and WebOS was great and it ran so mm-hmm. much faster than the iPad. That to me seems like it's put out there to make people think it's worth buying a little bit.
Yeah. But I do have to say, like, the WebOS version on the pre was buggy. It had its own issues, but it wasn't laggy. Like, it crashed, but, like, on the phone, on the mobile version, mm-hmm. it wasn't laggy like the touchpad was.
Right.
So, I mean...
I'm curious to see if that lag is still there, because supposedly some of it was taken, you know, got cleaned up from that most recent software.
Yeah, I wonder. Update. I wonder. Very, very curious.
We'll have to check that out next.
We will have to check that out. I think that's... I don't even think we need to talk about anything else on the tech front. I mean, that's a lot of stuff this week.
And,
and a lot of speculation and a lot of where are we going, which I think is exciting.
Yeah. And this is, like I said, it's one of these interesting things where we won't even know how much of this stuff is going to affect the market probably until like December. I think mobile phones will be the first time again indicator of the Google thing.
Yeah, but I think so too. I mean, Google is known for moving fairly fast on things.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, I feel like they're probably already strategizing on how they're going to implement that and what's going to be the first device and when's it, you know.
Yeah. It's still going to be, I think it's like 8 or 9 months before the deal can go through though, isn't it? It's a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's big acquisition, so there's a lot of logistics to go through it. But
And also, that's very interesting too. There's on the patent front, I forgot, there's also a number of lawsuits already that Motorola is embroiled in, but I think Google needs to go and be able to weigh in on those now. But between Apple and and a bunch of other people, I mean, it's all very interesting to see where that's going to go. But it's been a weird week.
It was just, man, I, from start to finish, I was not, what's going on? What is happening?
But how mad?
On a good front for the Google Motorola thing, I sold my stock.
That's good for you.
So I actually had lost money on it and made all that back plus a little bit. So hey.
How mad would you
be? I'm selling this sucker right now.
Decided to go and change all your gear to like a Droid and a touchpad like 4 weeks ago? How pissed would you be right now?
Pissed.
Anyway, buddy, thanks for joining us.
Wait. Why are you ending? I got some food, baby.
Oh, okay. I thought you were wrapping up earlier, man.
I was like ending the tech segment, but
Okay.
I am always eating. Come on.
Well, I know that, but okay.
I mean, we had our apple fritter this morning, which we haven't been able to have in a while. It was quite good. So this is actually just a quick thing, but
okay.
Trader Joe's. Do you shop at Trader Joe's?
On occasion, yes.
So Trader Joe's, they're around the country and all major metropolitan cities these days. Their items change quite often, you know, depending on where they're getting their stuff. But there was a new ice cream product, because I don't like ice cream.
You hate it.
That I found in the store the other day, and it surprised the hell out of me. I bought it just because it looked interesting. And I was like, yes, maybe it'll be good, maybe it won't. So they at Trader Joe's, they sell like these ice cream sandwich cookie sandwiches that you can buy, and regular ice cream sandwiches. So when I was looking in the freezer section, there was a s'mores ice cream sandwich. S'mores ice cream sandwich. So it's like a graham cracker cookie on the outside, kind of, and like a vanilla and marshmallow and chocolate ice cream inside. I couldn't stop eating this thing. I didn't expect it to taste as good as it tasted. I was like, oh, I'll try one. You know, it could be interesting. It's not going to be bad, but it was good. I devoured it. I scarfed this thing down so fast because every bite, it was one of those dishes that when you eat, it was like every bite, and I'm alone by myself doing this, by the way. It was like,
By the way,
oh my God.
I had this picture in my head of you in your apartment with the lights turned off and the
lights
TV
were not off.
Lights off, the TV on, showing a show from earlier in the week. Something along the lines of a Gilmore Girls or something in that realm, or Smallville. And it's eating this cookie ice cream by yourself with a t-shirt and boxer shorts. Is that close?
No.
Okay.
Partially. I was alone. There was something on the TV. Lights were on. And I was wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Sweatpants are close enough.
But I was vocal. I was actually vocal about how good, like talking to myself about how good this ice cream sandwich was.
This is so wrong.
I can't help it, man. It was that good. So s'mores ice cream sandwich, unique. If they have it at your Trader Joe's, buy it, eat it, love it, enjoy it.
Wow.
Hey, it doesn't happen often where I'm that kind of blown away by something simple.
Where you talk to your food?
No, that happens often. Me and food, we have good discussions.
Lost for words.
Trader Joe's, s'mores, ice cream sandwiches. You get the Scott Gold seal of approval here.
Eat it in sweatpants.
On that note.
Thanks for joining us this week, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Thank you very much.
If you like what you hear, you can rate us on iTunes. It's one of the best ways for people to go and find the show and discover it. And also tell your friends, tell your family.
Spread the word on Facebook. Throw a little link to our show.
Yeah.
Get new people listening.
Yeah, and I'm always happy to say hey in chat. We're on Twitter. I'm at BC Bishop.
And I'm at ScottG7.
Exactly. You can also email us or visit us at techbacon.net. I'm Brian.
I'm Scott.
Take care.